Good morning.
Good morning, Abraham.
We are happy to chat about this most important topic.
It is.
And you are calling it?
Health, weight, and mind.
There is not a subject that is more upon the minds of those who are interacting here in physical form than the subjects that have to do with their own physical apparatus. And the reason for that is that you are physically focused, physically perceptual beings, and everything that you are perceiving is through the format of this physical apparatus. And so it is logical that the condition of, or the perceived condition of, or the physical sensations that are flooding through would play a very big part in the way that you as individuals perceive this physical world in which you are physically focused. Your perception about your bodies is confused. You have been given so much information from so many different sources that is really contradictory to that which we know to be and to the laws of the universe as we know them to be, that we are extremely happy to spend some time here talking about you and your bodies relative to the greater picture.
Good.
For we believe that in hearing what we will offer here, that all who are wanting will have a clearer understanding of how they can be the healthy being, the being that is physically fit, the being whose body looks as they want it to look, the being that is whole in a sense, in terms of body and mind. In order to bring all of this into proper perspective, we must, of course, bring another part of you into the picture. In other words, we must include a far greater part of you, the inner part of you, into this picture before we can do justice to the topic. For it is our knowing that what you are seeking while you think it is health or perfect body conditions, perfect size and shape, perfect mental condition, it is our knowing that what you really are seeking is the perfect balance between you and you. A harmony between your desire and your experience. You use as your gauge for wellness something that is very difficult to utilize effectively, and that is you try to use the standards that have been established by something that is outside of you. In this physical world in which you are focused, it is the custom to choose some standard and say that is best or that is normal. And anything less than that or anything different from that is substandard or abnormal. And in that comparison, in that trying to catalog yourself or categorize yourself or pigeonhole yourselves, almost all of you get out of balance in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that out of balance position, it is not easy for you to get back into balance. What we would like to assist you in understanding is that there is not one state of being that is the correct one, or even the most wanted one, that there are many great varieties of states of physical apparatus that are sought and have been intended by you as you emerged into this physical body. And if it had been your intent to all be the same, it is our promise that more of you would be the same, but you are not. You come forth with all sorts of varieties of size and shape and flexibility and dexterity. Some are stronger while others are more agile. you come with great variety, adding all sorts of differences that are of tremendous advantage to you as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
You come forth in your great variety to add balance to this time and place. And so we would like to encourage you, rather than looking at yourselves, as most of you do, and acknowledging that you are lacking in this characteristic or in that characteristic, we would like to assist you in looking toward the advantages of that which you are. In other words, spend a greater part of your time as you are assessing or analyzing your physical apparatus by looking for the advantages that it offers, not just to you, but to the balance of all that is.
Mm-hmm. I recall that when I used to work out on a trapeze, with a circus, I was too heavy to be what they call a flyer, and I was too light to be what they call a catcher. So it really wasn't my place to be comfortably unless we got a heavier catcher or lighter flyer, so to speak.
Good. But, and you are understanding what we are talking about.
Exactly.
Here.
So I was still an aerialist, but I did what we call an aerial bar act, where nobody had to catch me or I didn't have to catch anyone. So, but I didn't feel myself lacking because I didn't think that I should have been bigger or should have been smaller. I just found something I like to do that still gave me the same general feeling.
Good, that is excellent.
Hmm. So I guess could we not look at our weight then and our states of mind and our states of mental ability or talent the same way? If each of us would look at ourselves as perfect?
That is really the offering that we are wanting you to hear here, because anything else does not work for you. If you use some other standard and you say, that is what I should be or that is what I would like to be, but this is what I am, and what I am is so much less than what I want to be, your attitude about yourself, your perspective about yourself, is coming from a position of such strong lack that what happens is you continue to attract more of what you do not want unto you. For by law of attraction, that which you are giving your attention to, or more correctly stated, you are attracting unto you by virtue of the thought that you are giving and by virtue of the feeling that you are having as you are giving thought. And so as you are focused upon your lack, and then you say, I'm going to be there someday, but where I am is right here now, what you are attracting unto you is what here is here and now. And that is the reason that most of you, in your dissatisfaction of who you are, do not vary from that unsatisfactory place very far or very often. In other words, you keep returning to that place that you don't want to be.
What's up? Are you ready for a question here?
We're wanting to offer a little information here,
okay,
that we believe is essential to the understanding of everything that is coming beyond it.
Okay.
As physical creatures, you have become very convinced that it is through your doing that all things happen. And so you are very eager to respond in action to all things. And what we are wanting you to understand is that it is not through your action that the majority of things are coming to you. It is through the balance of thought that you are offering that you are creating your experience. What happens is you are offering thought every waking moment. And much of the time, the thought that you are offering is in response to things that you do not want. You were born into a society that right away began saying to you, watch out for this, watch out for that. And so most of you have taken very early on in your physical experience a very guarded stance. And from that guarded stance, you're in a place of lack. As you say, that will not happen to me, you are in a place of guardedness and in a place of negative attraction. Your society has trained you to be that way. You have a war on poverty and a war against drugs and a war against AIDS and a war against cancer. Most of you really believe that the way to get what you want is to defeat what you don't want. And so you give so much of your attention toward pushing away from you what you do not want. Where if you could see law of attraction as we see it, if you could accept yourselves as the attractors by virtue of the thought that you are holding, you would understand what a backwards approach most of you are taking. As you say, I am sick and I want not to be sick. And so I will beat this illness. I will win. I will take this action and I will defeat this illness. You are, from your position of guardedness and defensiveness and negative emotion, you are holding that illness unto you. Your natural state is one of wellness.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are sick, it is because you have been resisting wellness. And how would you resist wellness? By giving attention to illness. It is really as simple as that. Every subject is really two subjects. Most of you do not understand that. There is the subject of what you are wanting, and there is the subject of its lack upon every subject. Regarding your body, which is such a sensitive issue, since every thought that you think is filtered through your perspective of this body, if this body doesn't feel the way you want it to feel, or if it doesn't look the way you want it to look, it is very natural that a large number of your thoughts, a very imbalanced portion of your thoughts, would be slanted toward the lack side of the equation rather than toward the truly desired side of the equation. And that is really what we are wanting to point out here. From your place of lack, you will attract only more of that. That is the reason that most diets do not work. You are aware of your fat. You are aware of your body looking the way you don't want it to look. And so when it gets bad enough that you can't stand it anymore, either from your own perspective or because others are scowling at you, then you say, I cannot bear this negative place anymore. I'm going to go on a diet and I'm going to get rid of all of this stuff that I do not want. And yet your attention is given to the stuff that you do not want. And so you hold it unto you. You hold it unto you. The way to get to where you are wanting to be is to give your full attention to what you do want, not to give your attention to what you do not want.
A dear friend and my mentor in business, who is a man of just brilliant health, Esther and I were visiting a few years ago at their home. And then in the morning we got up, he said, well, I can't have breakfast with you. And although his wife had a beautiful breakfast, he said, because so many of the men at my age in this area are dying from a certain type of disease. And he said, so I've just volunteered to just go down once a month and have this examination so they can track it. And he said, I'm in perfect health. He said, but if I can be of any help to those others, he said, I'm willing to do it. Well, it seemed like only a matter of weeks that we got a call from him or his wife saying, I've got it. And so his health has never been the same since, a few years ago. So is that same kind of thing, that even though he wasn't afraid of it, just focusing on it without fear created it in his system?
The first attention to it, in other words, it was his intent to be of value for others. And so he allowed them to probe and poke and look. And in the probing and poking and looking, he received enough stimulation of thought from the others to make him aware of the possibility, not only the possibility, the probability.
Uh-huh.
And so as they planted within him the seed of probability, then with the probing and the poking and the looking, his body responded to what then became the balance of his thought, you see. And it is a wonderful example that you have offered, because that disease was not within him until the attention to the disease was within him. And once the attention to the disease was within him, then his body responded very amicably in kind, you see.
Is that okay? So, but how much can we toy with these thoughts? For instance, you can watch on television an offer to come down for a free examination of some part of your body.
And if a person says, oh, well, I think I'll just go do that. I feel fine, but why not since it's free? What are the chances of that leading on into what you're talking about, a stimulation of thought and eventually a probing? And a,
nearly 100%. That is the reason that with all of the attention to illness in your society, that your diseases are running rampant. All of this medical technology, all of the tools, all of the discoveries, and there are more people that are critically ill today than ever before in all of the history of your world. And it is because of the attention to the illness. Someone said perhaps we are too smart for our own good. You said, how much can we toy
right.
with it? And we say, you are very particular about what you eat and what you wear and what you drive, and yet you are not particular about what you think. And we would encourage you to be particular about what you think, to keep your thoughts on the side of the subject that is in harmony with your wanting. In other words, think about wellness, not about lack of it. Uh-huh. Think about being as you want to be rather than the lack of it. And that guardedness, that place of defensiveness, you see, most of you have this very deep-seated belief within you that you are vulnerable.
Uh-huh.
You have been born into a society that believed it was vulnerable. And so almost from the day you were born, they began saying, watch out for this, watch out for that, watch out for this, until eventually you became wary. And in that guarded position, you are in a place of negative attraction. It is really as simple as that.
Okay, another story. Another dear friend of ours, relatively recently, her mother-in-law's health had really worsened, and so they made a special room in their house, built a room on their house for her to come and stay. And so they brought her there. But while she was there, she spoke, when we visited there, she just spoke almost constantly about how bad she felt and how bad her health was and how unhappy she was with life and about this surgery and that surgery. And then during that process, then our friend's mother, who's 85 years old, came out just to visit for the holidays. Came out to visit for the holidays and had never been, never been in a hospital in her life before. But and within a week almost of staying in that house with this other lady who was speaking of illness, the mother then now health went just plummeted down to where now the first one is in a nursing home. The mother who had never been in a hospital before is now incapacitated in a nursing home. And our friend who had, as far as I know, had been in brilliant health is now in critical health situation. Could all that come from that stimulation of thought from the first person that came into the home?
The potential for illness or wellness lies within all of you at all times.
Uh-huh.
And whatever you give your attention to begins to foster within you the manifestation of that. Thought is very powerful. You see, every cell in your body is really a thinking mechanism. It is vibrating, pulsing with thought energy.
Uh-huh.
And the cells of your body are communicating one with another. And technically are communicating with that which is beyond you, although you as the thinker of this physical apparatus are the greatest, by far the greatest influencer of what takes place within your body. If you are offering no thought at all about the condition of your physical apparatus, which you would be a very rare individual to be in that position, but if you were offering no thought, if you were really neutral upon
yes.
that subject, then the cells of your body would be taking their stimulation from whatever they were picking up from that which is around. However, when you are thinking relative to your own physical condition, your thoughts are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times more powerful than the thought that the cells of your body would be picking up aside from that. And so when someone comes into your experience that stimulates your thought
uh-huh.
so that your thought is predominantly upon illness rather than wellness, upon lack of well-being rather than upon well-being, where you are in a place where you are feeling vulnerable or defensive or even angry, then the cells of your body begin to respond to the balance of that thought. And yes, it is possible that in a matter of weeks or even days or even hours that this negative process could begin with the very strong stimulation of negative thought. Everything that you are living is as a result of the thought that you are thinking, and there is not an exception to that. But what happens as you see physical evidence around you, very often that physical evidence seems bigger. It seems realer to you than thought. You say things to us such as, Abraham, this is really real. This is not just thought. This is really real. As if what is really real and thought are two separate things, you see. And so you let the physical evidence that you see before you, that is nothing more than the manifestation of somebody else's thought, you let their physical evidence then frighten you and make you feel more vulnerable. We say to you, there is not a physical apparatus, no matter what the state of negative degeneration, that could not turn around now and receive perfect wellness or perfect well-being if you could hold your thoughts only upon that. But it really takes an understanding of the way you are creating. If you could understand that your body is responding to what you are thinking, and if you could hold your thoughts where you want them to be, all of you would be well.
Another thing I'd like to comment on, just an observation. In my earlier years, there were major diseases, tuberculosis and polio, it was called, that we hear very little of anymore. But we're not short of diseases, because now we have heart disease and cancer that we almost never heard of back then. And in the other side of our system, in those days we had syphilis and gonorrhea that was talked about tremendously and experienced tremendously. We don't hear much of those, but we're not out of sexual diseases. Now we have AIDS and herpes that are stay foremost in the news. What goes on that makes this apparent creation of new diseases or new major diseases along the way?
It is your attention to lack. It is your feeling of vulnerability that will forever bring forth something else to feel vulnerable about. You cannot focus upon the conquering of disease without giving your attention to disease. Now, there are many who would argue with us. They would say, Abraham, what about all of these wonderful cures that have come forth? And we say, the cures have come forth from those who are focused upon solution. The diseases come forth by those who are focused upon disease. And so, yes, we applaud those who are creating the vaccines and the solution to disease. And there will forever be those who are focused upon wellness that will create those processes to conquer the illness. What we are teaching is wellness. In other words, we are wanting you to understand that you do not have to create a disease in order to create wellness. The wellness is your natural state. You are not knowing how it is that you are getting sick for the most part. We are knowing because that it is because of your attention to sickness that you are getting sick. That it is your basic feeling of vulnerability rather than an understanding that your natural state is one of wellness.
I became aware very early in life that if I cut or scratched my hand or leg or knee, that I could just almost sit and watch it heal. I mean, it would heal so fast. There was a healing began within 5 minutes. It was obvious to see. And then in a very short time, there was nothing left to see, unless it was really a deep wound that left a scar. But then it was really healed. And so
you are speaking of a body that is a body that is made up of cells that are responding to your overwhelming belief in wellness.
Right.
In other words, that is what causes a body to heal, is its natural awareness that it is a well-being. But a body that has been surrounded by thought of illness, the cells of that body would be responding differently. In order to understand this business of body, you must understand that what you're really talking about is influence. Thought that is offered powerfully is very influential thought. And so when you are very sure of your wellness, you are offering very powerful thought. And the cells of your body are receiving that influence, and they are responding accordingly. When you are offering very powerful thoughts of illness, when you have really been frightened by something, when your attention to the negative media has been such, or when you've had a real life exposure to someone that has been very sick, and so your thoughts are very pressing about the illness, now the influence that you're offering to your body is that of negative illness, you see. It is really as simple as that. Some will say, but Abraham, what about the child that has just been born? And we say, do not assume that that child, though he is not speaking, is not responding to the influence that surrounds him. The influence of the fear of the mother, or the influence that surrounds the mother's experience. Thought is very penetrating.
How can we get to the stage? I mean, it's easy. I know my body will heal that part because I see it do it. But how can we get to the point that we know that all parts of our body will heal? That's the part that people are frightened of, the parts they can't see, the diseases that are inside, so to speak.
It is always the unknown that is most frightening.
The fear of the
unknown.
And
so, as there are those things inside of you, they seem more powerful. They seem more ominous. They seem more important. And there are so many who are wanting to influence you toward that thought. In other words, you must understand that there are many who benefit from illness. There are many who are looking for illness. When you go to a physician who has been trained to find something wrong with you, much as in the example that you've offered with your friend, when you go looking for something wrong, it is our promise to you, you will always find something that is wrong. It is law. You cannot continue. Now, you may not find it on the first visit, but if you are convinced that there is something lurking there, or something that could pop up at any moment that you must find in the early stages, if you go looking for something that is wrong, it is our absolute promise to you that sooner or later, you will discover something that is wrong. And the beliefs that you hold all enter into it. In other words, those who are more youthful are expecting wellness in a more powerful way. But as you get older, then the conditioning or the influence that you should now begin to decline becomes stronger. And so most of you degenerate on a sort of sliding scale that is very much in harmony with what others are doing, but it is because of the influence of the others that you come to expect it, and that is the influence that you offer to the cells of your body, and the cells of your body respond to your thought. We say to you that it is our absolute knowing that your body is responding only to the thought that you are offering. And so if you are wanting wellness, you must stop defending yourself against illness and give your attention to wellness. If you are wanting a slender, strong body, then you must give your attention to the parts of your body that you do acknowledge as well and as you want them to be, in order to attract other things that you are wanting to be.
One last thing I want to ask you about the body and mind is the story I heard. A Dr. Livingston in Africa, a lion caught him and grabbed him and dragged him off in his jaws, and he said that he didn't feel pain. He almost went into a euphoric state at that point, almost like when you see a lion or a cat get any other sort of animal, they kind of go limp right then, even though they're not dead or wounded particularly. It's kind of, the struggle is over. But the point I want to make is, he said he felt no pain, almost, I think euphoric was the word. Is that a mental condition, or is that a physical condition, and is it something that only happens when one being is about to eat another or kill it, like an animal, or could it be utilized in some way by us conscious beings when there's something that that's painful in our life that we wouldn't have to feel the pain?
First, we will say you cannot accurately separate that which is physical from that which is mental, from that which is coming from your higher or inner being. In other words, you are a physically focused being, yes, and you are a thinking mental being, yes, but the life force or energy that comes forth from within you is offered from a broader perspective. Under such a situation of such dire circumstances where it is likely that you will not recover. In other words, once a lion has you in his jaws, usually he is going to be the victor in the situation. What happens is your inner being intervenes and offers a flow of energy that would be received by you as that sort of euphoric state.
Ah.
Now, it is not necessary that it be in a situation of dire straits, but for most of you, it must reach that proportion before you allow. In other words, it is a sort of giving up. In other words, the man thought that he was done, and it was the giving up that he was experiencing more than anything.
Okay, so I know I've heard you speak that in order to heal ourselves, we want to get our thoughts off of the problem.
Good.
And onto what we're wanting. But if we're in pain, how can we not feel the pain? How can we get our attention off pain long enough to concentrate on what we do want?
You are right. When your toe is throbbing, it is very difficult not to think about the throbbing toe. And we have noticed, as we have been observing our physical friends, that most of you do not think clearly about what you do want until you're living what you don't want. Most of you sort of drift into your day, blundering here and there, not offering any real conscious thought because you do not understand the power of your thought. And you do not offer anything really deliberate until you are faced with something that you do not want. And then once you're faced with something that you do not want, then you attack it fully. Then you give it your full attention, which, knowing law of attraction as we do, only makes things worse. And so our encouragement would be to look for times or segments when you are not feeling such intensity of the throbbing, and then focus upon the well-being. You see, as we said earlier, every subject is really two subjects. You are the attractor, and as you be in any moment in time is your point of attraction. As you be is not just the condition that you stand in, it is your perception or your perspective of the condition that you stand in. And in every moment, no matter what the object of your attention, there are positive and negative aspects. When you look at your physical body, there are many aspects that you could consider, and some of them are positive and some of them are negative. But your state of being and your point of attraction has to do with the attention that you are giving in any point in time. And so let us say that you have not been feeling your best, but you notice it sometimes more than others. At the times when you are feeling good or even neutral, that is the time to acknowledge your well-being. Everything that we've been talking about here today regarding your physical body is very closely, very intricately intertwined with that which we call your inner being. Your inner being is literally offering the life force that flows through you. If we could convince you here in this little bit of time that we are interacting upon this recording that your natural state is one of wellness, one of absolute health, one of perfect bodily conditions, and that if you are experiencing anything other than that, it is only because the balance of thought within you is toward the lack of what you want instead of to what you want, then we believe that all who are hearing this recording would, in the moment of that understanding, be upon their path to perfect health. It is your resistance to illness that causes it in the first place, and it is your resistance to illness that holds it to you once it is there. It is your attention to what you do not want that creates it and holds it in your experience. And so it is logical that attention to what you do want would be appropriate. For most of you, it is not easy for you to define the subtle difference between thinking about what you want and the lack of it. For you say, Abraham, you say I can have anything that I want, and I have been wanting to be well for as long as I can remember. It's all I think about. Why am I not well? And we say, because you are not thinking about being well. You're thinking about being ill. You're thinking, you're wanting from your place of lack.
Well, you say the balance of thought, but I mean, are you saying balance of thought from the moment we're born, or even before we're born?
In other words, before.
Is that why someone can be born and have a physical problem?
It is. Just as the balance of your thought now is equaling what you are living, the balance of thought that you held prior to your birth is what equaled what you are living.
I see.
That is a very complex issue. In other words, there are those who have come forth deliberately wanting physical disability because they were wanting the benefit that they believed would come from it. They were wanting to add some balance to their perspective. But the majority of those who are attracting less than wellness are doing it by default. They are doing it not because it is their wanting, but because the balance of their thought is attracting it, because they are not understanding the laws of the universe and are influenced by thought that is surrounding them. It is not different whether you are focused in non-physical or whether you are focused in physical. The balance of your thought is what equals what you are living. The important thing to understand is that it is not a good idea to stand in your perspective and try to evaluate the appropriateness of what anyone else is living, because you will never be able to figure it out. But you always know where you stand relative to what you are wanting. And if you will pay attention to what you are thinking and let your thoughts be guided by the feeling that comes forth within you, you will find yourself guiding your thoughts more of the time in the direction of that which will ultimately please you. In other words, the reason that you feel such fear when you think about cancer is because that thought is not in harmony with your wanting. Anytime you feel negative emotion, it is an indicator that the thought that you are thinking or the words that you are speaking are not in harmony with your greater wanting. And it is not difficult for any of you to understand that what you want is wellness. Therefore, any thought about illness is counterproductive.
So what would you say to us would be the best thing that we could do to either maintain perfect health or regain perfect health, or influence others around us toward their perfect health?
Maintaining and regaining are one and the same, and so is influencing others. In other words, live it. That is the way you influence the others. Give your attention to wellness. That is the way you enhance wellness. Give your attention to illness, and that is the way you enhance illness. Get sick. That is really a good way to influence others toward illness. Be well. That is the best way to influence others toward wellness. Now, here is what we are really wanting you to hear regarding this, because we know for those who are in a place where they are not wanting to be, that this Abraham dialogue seems very simplistic. And so we are wanting to give you something here that you can sink your teeth into, something that it is our absolute promise will make a very dramatic difference in your state of physical beingness if you will apply this. We are talking to those of you here who are experiencing health-wise something less than you want, whether you are a little bit out of balance or a lot out of balance. This will bring you to a state of health if you are wanting it. You do not have to fight against illness anymore, because your natural state is one of wellness, and fighting against illness is the reason that it exists within your experience. It started with just a little concern. That little concern grew into more pointed attention, and that more pointed attention grew into physical manifestation, and now your attention is upon the physical manifestation, which is perpetuating more physical manifestation. And so what we are wanting you to understand is that your natural state is one of absolute well-being. And there is not a reason that you would be experiencing otherwise, other than that you have been giving some thought to illness. Friends, you do not have to fight anymore against the illness, but just relax into your wellness. Put yourself in your bed tonight, and as you are going to sleep, feel the magnificent comfort of the bed beneath you. Hold your thoughts upon something in your experience other than your illness. Every moment that you can think about something other than illness, you are cutting the fuel to that illness. In every moment that you think about something other than illness, you are stopping the illness from going forward. In every moment that you are thinking about the illness, you are adding a little more fuel to the fire, so to speak. And so begin tonight by focusing upon the bed beneath you. Notice how comfortable it is. Notice how big it is. Notice the pillow beneath your neck. Notice the fabric upon your skin. Give your attention to something, to anything other than the illness, and preferably to things that bring forth within you either a feeling of well-being or no feeling at all. You're wanting to hold your thoughts upon subjects other than the illness. And as you are able to accomplish that for 5 seconds you've stopped fueling your illness. As you accomplish it for 10 seconds you've stopped fueling the illness. As you think about how good you feel right now, you begin fueling your wellness. As you think about your natural state being one of wellness, you fuel your wellness. With every thought you think, you vibrate. Every thought vibrates. And as you think thoughts of illness, the reason that you feel such negative emotion about it is because that thought is so out of harmony with your greater knowing that you are not resonating with who you really are. And the negative emotion that you feel in the form of concern or anger or fear about your illness is your real indicator that you have severed yourself, or at least put a very strong restriction of the flow of energy between your inner being and who you really are. Your wellness comes forth as you allow the full flow of energy, non-physical energy, from your inner being. And so as you think, I am well, or I am becoming well, I am whole, it is my natural state to be well, those thoughts vibrate in a place that is in harmony with that which your inner being knows to be, and you receive the full benefit of your own thought energy that comes forth from your inner being. Every thought vibrates. And so focus upon thoughts that make you feel good, which will attract others and others and others and others and others until your vibrational frequency will raise to the place that your inner being can fully envelop you, and then you will be in the place of well-being. And your physical apparatus will catch up very quickly. It is our absolute promise to you. You may begin to watch for physical evidence, dramatic physical evidence of your recovery, for it is law. We've enjoyed very much this interaction. There is great love here for you.
Thank you.
We are complete.
Thank you.
Good. Now what is it you're wanting to talk about?
Well, the next subject is headed up Health, Weight, and Mind, subtitled The Perfect States of Weight, Health, and Mind. How can I get there and stay there? As I've been interacting with you, interacting with people, I see a tremendous, just an absolutely overwhelming number of people whose concerns have to do with those factors. And from what I see, as far as the influence around us, it sure makes sense why that concern would be there and why there can be ongoing concern for it. As a kid, I experienced the negative ends of that. And so I had the good fortune somehow of realizing somewhere along the way that I was in control. And I recall when I was about 9 years old going to the carnival in Bentonville, Arkansas, and they had two firefighters. They would take on all comers. In other words, any of the farmers around there would get in the ring and fight them. And if they could beat these professional fighters, they'd win all these dollars, which they always got beat to a pulp. But anyway, I remember in this little canvas tent, and they had like kerosene lights, and I remember the lights flickering on the back of the body of the fighter, the professional fighter, and I was just absolutely entranced with the fact that his backbone was down, hidden between two beautiful muscles running down his back, whereas mine was more like what our state mascot, the Razorback. In other words, my backbone stuck way out of my back and had no muscles around it, and his backbone was beautifully embedded where I couldn't even see it. I just saw these beautiful muscles. And from that, I really wanted that. And within about 8 years, I had my back was looking like that. And so I realized I could create my physical body. And I, because of tremendous ill health as a child, I learned through somehow to be able to control my own health. I experimented with doctors a few times, but they were always wrong. And so it didn't take me long to realize that I better stay away from doctors because I couldn't find one who would ever be right. They were always wrong when it came to me, and so I'd be better off just handling my own body. So I kind of ran all that operation on my own, but I still find myself now more because I think listening to all this, I think a little bit about how's my body going to hold up and how's, you know, my condition going to be. Will I be able to, as I say, maintain this perfect state of weight and health and my mind? I mean, I feel I am there, but now I'm at the point, will I be able to always stay there? And I'd like you to address that general subject.
We are appreciating the combination of words that you've put there, for your body and your mind are forever connected. In fact, your body is responding to your thoughts continually. In fact, to nothing else. Your body is absolutely a pure reflection of the way you think about it. There is nothing else that is affecting your body other than your thoughts about it, you see. Now, we also appreciated your realization at an early age that you had some control, for that is really what all of you are seeking regarding your body, is it not? You are wanting your body to be as you really are wanting it to be. And so all that is required for you to get what you are wanting versus getting some of what you are not wanting is to recognize that the control that you seek, you already have, and that it is the way you are offering your thought on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment, segment-by-segment, subject-by-subject basis that you are receiving what you are wanting. What area are you wanting to take first of the subjects? Is anyone interested in the subject?
I understand that I came across something in Seth just recently, which I must have read 10 times, but this time I've read it, heard it, that to desire health is a natural state of being.
Correct. To have health is a natural state of being also.
It's there. It's there, and to desire it is natural. I mean,
agreed.
There's no thing about that.
Absolutely.
So when our minds and we get involved in thoughts and concerns and TV, whatever, and we start thinking about lack in whatever way, then we start creating that in our body.
Perfect. You see, what happens is, and it is really because you are trying to help one another, you have a bad experience, and what is the first thing that you decide you should do? Warn the others. Look out for this, you say. You think it is the way that you will keep them from getting into the same trouble that you got into. Don't go there for dinner. The food tastes terrible. Or do not deal with this business one, for he will rob you blind. And so in your... truly, it is a wanting to help others, but you go about it in the wrong way. You become those who are forever warning one another. And in your warning, all you do is stimulate thought to the exact opposite of what the other one wants, you see.
Well, I got an insight on that, too, that that's how I start to impress my mass reality. That when I start saying, oh, I feel bad, then this person may think I look great, feel great, perfect and everything else, but then I tell them all this stuff, then it starts changing their picture of it.
Absolutely. That is the reason that we say, until you are selfish enough to say what is most important is that I feel good, so that you can attract it and radiate it, you are really of not much uplifting value to the universe. The worse you feel, when you are sick, you are offering influence of sickness. When you are well, you are offering influence of wellness. You offer that which you are, just as you attract that which you are, because of the powerful law of attraction. When you are feeling sick or vulnerable, then you attract unto you others, and so it becomes a bigger consciousness of sick and vulnerable, and that is what is happening. That is the way you described your society. Now, think about it. When we are talking in terms of the aspect of either health or illness, in other words, both of them exist, when you go to a doctor, what are you asking him to do?
Find out what's wrong with me.
That is his role in life. That is what he has been trained to do. His work is to look at you and discover what is wrong. Now, since we are understanding, since we understand that the universe is perfectly balanced, we are all understanding that he will always, if he looks hard enough, find something that he would consider to be abnormal or substandard or deficient within you. And so if you allow that sort of interaction, you will always find it. And then as he finds it, this little thing, or even if he can't find it, he will say, keep coming back, because it might come later. You almost feel guilty if he doesn't find anything, for you have taken all of his time and you are there for nothing. Next time I come back, you mentally say, there, I will have something really good for you to diagnose and treat.
This possibly touches into what you were saying earlier, Abraham. I'd like a fix on, I've just recognized that I've been programmed all my life, and I think most of our society is, to look for what's wrong.
Agreed.
And so and it's like that is the deepest channel to flow when anything goes.
It is the most natural, habitual pattern.
Right. So that's something that I would like to, before I leave this weekend, I will no longer go down that channel. It won't be the deepest one.
Good. It is our intent for you also.
So any assistance would be very welcome.
We touched on it a bit last night. As we were saying, wouldn't it be nice if we could sequester ourselves away and stop all of that negative attraction and then start the new attraction? And so really, it is a matter of making the decision. I want to acknowledge that I have the only and the absolute control of my own physical apparatus. I'm wanting to acknowledge that as I am is as a result of as I think. You see, what happens is, and we have noticed it as we have interacted with most physical friends, and we think we will get right at the heart of what keeps you from getting all of the things that you are wanting and sometimes causes you to experience the lack of some things. You have within you some very natural, what we will call core beliefs. And you have struck upon one as you say, it is natural for me to be healthy. And we will insert here that you have to give a tremendous amount of negative thought to the subject of health before you experience any negative manifestation. You have to work really hard to cause physical havoc upon your apparatus. As physical creatures, you have these core beliefs. One of them is the one for... You say life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In other words, it is joy and freedom and growth. Very natural state of being that is within you. Behind all of that is the knowledge, not the hoping, not the wanting, but the knowing that you are perfect as you are and continually to reach out to more that is perfect. In other words, you know that you are all right. As physical beings with so much bombardment around you, they keep saying to you, you're not right. You're not taking the right action here. You're not doing the right thing here. And so, for the most part, what we see when we see you are defensive beings. Beings that are not willing to acknowledge how you are really thinking, that will defend to your death in spite of the fact that you are destroying yourself. What we mean is, as we say, you are the creator of your experience. On the one hand, you say, that sounds good. And on the other hand, you would like there to be some reason that you are not exactly as you want to be, other than the fact that you have done it to yourself. So much so that you look for the excuses, you look for the justification, you really try hard to find the rationalization that explains why you do not see yourselves better as you see yourself. Some of you give the credit to heredity. Some of you give the credit to the disease that abounds. Some of you, you New Agers, give the credit to a past life. I starved to death in my last life experience, so I'm fat in this one just to make sure that I don't starve to death again, you see. And what we are wanting you to hear most regarding this subject is that any form of justification or rationalization is absolutely counterproductive to what you are wanting. We had an interaction with a gentleman the other evening that was perhaps the best example of what we are wanting you to hear of anything that we've ever witnessed in your physical realm, as he was describing his inability to see as he is wanting to see, one of his eyes being rather defective. And as we explained to him that he was living the balance of his thought, he argued with us. No, what I'm thinking is appropriate. It is just what I'm living that is not. Cannot be. What you are living is what you are thinking. Someone said to us recently that someone said that someone said that someone said that man has created language to deceive other men. And we say, we see that occurring, but we do not believe that it is a deliberate attempt to deceive one another that is your reason for language. We believe that it is your wanting to communicate that has fostered your language. The one we see you deceiving most with your language is yourself. We see you saying words that you think are going to get you one way that are really getting you in the opposite direction, but you can't tell the difference between focusing on what you want and focusing on the lack of it because it sounds like the same subject. When you say, oh, I really, 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 really want to be healthy and slender and vital and young, what you're really saying is, I'm not any of those things, and isn't that a terrible thing? You are in your words acknowledging the lack of what you want, and so the universe, by law of attraction, is just allowing you to experience more of the lack of what you want. And so the only way that you will ever begin to get what you are wanting is to identify that the most important thing, top on the list, priority above all other things, is that I feel good. And if you will get that priority at the top, then any time that you are having a conversation that is not in harmony with health, you'll feel bad and you will be able to pivot away from it. In other words, you literally will find yourself doing the things to yourself. In other words, Jerry and Esther came home and found the possum in the nest, caught in the act with egg on his face. Your guidance system, your negative emotion, will help you catch yourself in the act. Your guidance system will show you exactly how you're doing it to you. Your guidance system will say, here you're doing it again, here you're doing it again, here you're doing it again. This negative emotion means you're in the process of attracting what you do not want. You have been trained to ignore your guidance. And so you have turned off the most important part of your physicalness, which is your guidance from broader perspective, you see. All you have to do is say, I want to be healthy, and I want to be slender, and I want to be beautiful, and I want to be vital, all of those things that you are wanting. And any time that you are thinking or speaking or acting in a way that will not allow you to have that, you will feel negative emotion. And so whenever you feel negative emotion, just stop whatever it is you're doing. Stop the acting, stop the thinking, stop the talking. And say, what is it that I do want? And as then you turn your attention to what you do want, then the negative feeling will be replaced by a positive feeling, and the negative attraction will be replaced by positive attraction, and you will be right back upon the path. Now, we know that it is not easy for you to make an abrupt pivot right in the middle of something. We've watched it even with Jerry and Esther. As one of them is off doing something and the other is off doing something, let us say that Esther gets herself involved in a little bit of negative momentum. And so as she is involved in this negative momentum, as she interacts with her mate, as she senses that he is not wanting to have any of it, her tendency is to feel a little bit put down by that. Oh, you're too good to wallow in negative emotion with me. In other words, she feels the resistance of it. Have you not had that experience? And in the feeling the resistance of it, she gets a little louder, a little more emphatic. She tries to justify her position a little more. Why? Because she wants to be right. She wants to be so right that she will pound herself into the ground trying to be right. Now, one not so strong could easily be sucked into that. In other words, you have a friend that is sick who is wanting to talk about how hard it is to be sick. You feel cold-hearted, don't you, if you say, I don't want to talk about that. And so out of your not wanting to be cold or unkind, you allow yourself to listen. And all the time you are listening, there is that knot in your stomach as your inner being is saying, this behavior, this conversation is not in harmony with what you are wanting. You are following? What you must be willing to do is please yourself first before you can stop being swept up by the negativity that surrounds you. It is of paramount importance that you make that decision first. Once that decision is made, then everything is easy. Now, if you will put your head on the pillow tonight and say, I'm having this break, this time that I'm sleeping, all negative attraction is stopping, and tomorrow I will begin only positive attraction. Just a few days of doing that, that negative rot, as you have described, will be something that is smoothed over, no longer existing, and there will be a positive rot that is dug that will be much more your natural flow. We see it in many of you. You all know that you are much happier when you are talking about things that make you feel good. You know it. There is not exception here in this room. It is just that some old patterns are still reigning supreme, and so all you have to do is say, I intend to change these patterns, and you will do it very quickly. I want to feel good. 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 You can't say that more than 10 or 20 times without law of attraction beginning to give you something that will cause you to feel a little bit good. But if you wait until you feel terrible to make that statement, then it is much harder, because then the negative momentum is already carrying you. Esther's daughter called and said, Mother, I want to talk to you because you always make me feel better. And her mother said, what is happening? And Tracy said, I am so mad that I could spit nails, or something of that nature. Her mother said, let's look at the positive aspects. And Tracy shouted, I don't want to look at the positive aspects. And then they both laughed right out loud, because they are both knowing she does want to look at the positive aspects. It is just that the momentum is carrying her in the other way. As Esther tried to hit the situation head on, what is the matter, and let's try to look at the positive aspects, all it did was inflame the negative. It made Tracy feel more a need to justify her position, because she wants to believe that she is right, as you all do. And so Esther finally figured out, this isn't working. Tracy's just getting madder. She's just giving me more reason to justify her madness. She's just giving more ammunition, adding more fuel to the fire to explain why it is right that I am mad. In other words, it was her way of saying, Mother, even though I know that I am currently destroying my life experience, I am wanting to do it because I would rather be right than have a good experience. Is that not what you do? Is that not what you're really saying when you are defending negativity? Of course, it isn't what Tracy said, because that was not her realization at that point, but that is the way we hear it. And so Esther began to talk to her about other positive aspects of her experience off of that subject. And suddenly Tracy said, I feel really good. And the crisis had passed. The reason that many of you are having trouble with this changing from the negative to the positive is because you try to deal too head-on with the culprit. And what that does is make you feel that you must defend. You would rather be right than happy, in other words. And that comes because you have been trained to be objective. You have been trained that there is success and failure. You get into debates where you will win or lose. You get into ball games where there are winners and losers. You put yourself in that position where I will win, but for me to win, you must lose. And so you are defensive beings, you see. And what we are saying to you is, you have no adversary. You have no reason to defend against anything. You do not have to explain or justify or rationalize your behavior to anyone or anything. Everything that you do is all right. The only master that you must serve is yourself. Your work is to find the harmony between you and you. And so as you say, I want to feel good, that is the way that you begin attracting that brings the harmony forth within you. Are you following? Do you believe that? Mm-hmm. Do you believe that there is not some great master that is sitting up there taking score? If you don't believe it, then let's have some self-talk about it, because it is really worthy of that understanding. Let us say that there is somebody up there, call him whatever you want. Mickey Mouse. Or God. It makes no difference. He is sitting there and he is taking roll and he is watching everything that you are doing and he is viewing it as either right or wrong and putting marks on the chart. Are you buying this? And so as he's evaluating this, he has a pretty big job, doesn't he?
His job is to define the great right and wrong in the sky. Is that what his job is? Which means it should be pretty easy. Because some things are right and some things are wrong, so you should fall into pretty strict categories. You're either right or you're wrong. Is that the way they are looking at it? Absurd, isn't it? Because you are so diverse in your wanting. You have within you this guidance, this God, you may call it if you are wanting, this inner being that is so intensely aware of every thought that you have ever thought and every thought that you are currently thinking, aware of all things that you want and all things that you believe, that this guidance is so intricately involved in you that it can give you an impulse for behavior. In other words, it can give you a stimulation to act, an inspiration that is perfect unto the set of beliefs or thoughts or desires or hopes that you hold at any point in time. And so let us say that you have decided that you want to be very slender and you currently do not see yourself as the way you are wanting to be. And you have within you a set of beliefs that is attached to food. Oh, if I eat this food, I will be fat. As you have this desire to be slender, but the belief that eating this food will make you fat, what sort of emotion do you think you would feel if you begin eating the food? Negative emotion, you call it guilt. Some of you call it disappointment or anger, but whatever it is, eating the food feels bad. Because your inner being is wise enough to tell you that given the set of beliefs that you hold, and given the desire that you hold, that this action is not in harmony. And so if you are following your bliss, you would find yourself feeling good about eating the things that do harmonize with your beliefs, and bad about eating the things that do not. Because your desire to be slender reigns supreme. Would you agree? You see how it works? Now, some of you say, but Abraham, I want to be slender, but I also want to eat food. And we say, do you believe that the food will make you fat? And as you say yes, we say, then what you are wanting to do is modify or bridge those beliefs so that they harmonize with your desire. Do you believe you can have it both ways? Do you believe that you can eat the food that makes you fat and not be fat? If you're wanting to believe that, then it is necessary for you to say, I want to know that. I want to know that the food I eat does not need to be reflected in my hips. I want to believe that I can eat what I am wanting and still maintain the physical apparatus that I'm wanting to maintain. And as you say, I want that, you will begin attracting the evidence of it. You will begin attracting people of all sizes and shapes. And you will begin acknowledging that some of them that are very slender eat a lot. And some of them that are very fat eat not so much. And then you will be able to acknowledge that it is not a standard thing. That everyone is responding differently to the food. Because the food is not the constant, the thought is. It is the way you are thinking about the food that is making the difference. You are following? And so let us take it a little bit further. Now I am a being, a physical being, who wants to be very slender, who still believes that chocolate cake makes me fat. But I really like chocolate cake. And so I say, I want to eat this chocolate cake. Is it a good idea relative to all of the intentions that I hold? We would encourage you to utilize your guidance system more explicitly. We would encourage you to see it as a friend that is sitting right here on your shoulder, that is aware of everything that you are doing, everything that you are wanting, and everything that you are believing. And so here you are in a magnificent restaurant, and here is all of this magnificent food before you. And they bring the dessert tray. And as you look at the dessert tray, you begin to salivate. You really, really, really would like to eat some of that. Do you find yourself in that position ever? You really want to eat it. All you have to do is stop and say, inner being, old friend, I know you're right here. You know what my dominant intent is, and you know what my beliefs are. Please guide me to the behavior that will satisfy all of that. And your inner being will give you negative emotion regarding the chocolate cake if it is going to bring you what you do not want, given the beliefs. Or it will give you positive emotion if it will not be detrimental to what you are wanting. If you will do that day after day, eventually what you will begin to notice is that occasionally your inner being will say, eat the cake and enjoy it. And for the first time, you will find yourself eating something that really tastes good, because guilt won't be mixed into the recipe. And as you're eating it and enjoying it, it will not be detrimental to your experience, because your inner being has deduced that your wanting and your believing are in the place that the eating of this will not hinder what you are wanting. Are you following? Anytime you are experiencing negative emotion, you are working against what you are wanting. Anytime you are experiencing positive emotion, you are in harmony with what you are wanting. Until eventually, through a process of as little as 30 days, you can literally modify those beliefs that have been in your way. You can find that every time you ask if you can eat the chocolate cake, your inner being will say, "It is all right. It will not hinder you in any way." What do you think about that?
Works.
Resistance is coming forth. Have some of you tried it and had it not work? Are some of you fatter than you want to be?
Yes.
Or sicker than you want to be?
Yes. What if I want to believe something like that, but I'm not sure I can? I'm almost in a test situation with it.
You're hoping.
Yes, which is like coming from lack.
Good. You're right. Anytime there is hoping, there is some, then all you have to say is, I really want to believe this. I really want to change this belief because I know that this belief is in my way. I would really like to believe that I can eat these things and still stay slender. And as you say that, now that is a new creation. Now you begin to attract people unto you that are eating those things and that are staying slender. And you say to them, "You must work out 1,000 hours a day." And they say, "Well, actually, I don't do very much of anything. I've just always been slender. It is just the way I am." And then instead of having the impulse to punch their lights out because you are coming from lack, this time you will say, "That is very interesting. This is something that I am coming to understand. Talk to me a little bit about it." And they will begin to tell you that from a very early age or just last year, they began to realize that they have control of their body, that their body responds to their thought and to nothing else. You see, the reality in the story that we offered you earlier about the paper on the desk, what was the reality of that paper on the desk? Was it there or was it not? It depends upon the belief. Esther believed it was not there, and it was not there. It was not there. And so as you believe that food makes you fat, food will make you fat. It can be no other way. But as you begin to want it to be different from that, then you will begin to attract the evidence that will assist you in really believing that it can go either way. There is not a constant. Food can be a fuel or food can make you fat. Your body can literally metabolize everything you eat into energy, or your body can store it like the squirrels store nuts. It is up to you, you see. And so all you have to do is look at where you are and say, "Where I am is pretty good. I like this about me. I like this about me. I like this about me." Get yourself to that place of feeling good. And in that place of feeling good, then you will notice the subtle difference anytime you are doing something that is not in harmony, even in the thought. We've watched Esther modifying her thoughts. Where she was walking through the grocery store, she had a little game that she played for years. Her mate would turn his back, and Esther would fill the cart every time they went to the grocery store with Oreos. And when he comes back to the cart, he plays his game. He says, "Esther, shame on you." And then one at a time, Esther puts the Oreos back onto the shelf, for she never intended to take them anyway. Then suddenly it occurred to Esther, "I am playing a very dangerous game. I am saying to myself, I like Oreos, but Oreos are bad. I want them, but they are bad for me." And he plays the game with her as he says, you are not really wanting the Oreos." And so now as Esther walks past the Oreos, she does not give them her attention. She does not say, "I want them and cannot have them." She gives her attention to something else. Have you ever seen a dead animal on the road? Do you look at it? As you see it, it brings forth negative emotion. And then the next time you pass, you want to look at the tree far on the other side, do you not? In other words, you do not torture yourselves. And so what we are saying to you is, give your attention to what makes you feel good, not to what makes you feel bad. We hear your conversation as you say, "I'm wanting to be slender, or I'm wanting to be healthy, but I am currently not. And we say, it doesn't matter what you're saying, it matters what you're feeling. And so alter your words, which will... There is a story that our friend has told us about the great ships as they're coming into the harbor. These great ships have very big ropes upon them for anchoring. But the ropes are very large, so large that they cannot be tossed. For a rope that size that is tossed would surely break the dock. But instead, there is a little ball of twine that is tossed, that is spliced to a larger rope, that is spliced to a larger rope, that is spliced to a larger rope, until very gradually the little rope can be brought into the bigger rope, and then you have what you are wanting. That is what the process of bridging beliefs is. You try to get hold of the big rope too soon, and then you feel overwhelmed or defeated by it. If you would just throw out the little thought first and find your comfort there, then you could bring another and another and another. You are following? Would you tell us the time?
I'm on the wrong side of you there. Excuse me.
Do you believe Oreo cookies will make you fat? What's sad about Oreo cookies? If you eat just one.
You can't eat just one.
You have 11 more minutes.
There you go. All
right. We believe, in fact, it is our absolute knowing, that anything that brings a feeling of positive emotion unto you is of tremendous value. And that the reason that the Oreo cookie rots your teeth or gives you high blood pressure or causes you to have or encourages diabetes or makes you fat is because someone has convinced you that that is so. And so whenever you are eating or participating with it, you feel the lack that is associated with it. It is not the item itself, it is your belief regarding the item. But as long as you feel that way, we would say you are better off not to eat it.
I've never met anyone that was the right weight. They were either too skinny or too fat.
That is because those that you are talking about have been focused upon lack. There is no pleasing them. They are looking for the negative aspect always.
Don't we place too much of society's views on what we think of ourselves?
We do not believe that you can overdo thinking well of yourself. We think that most of you overdo not thinking well of yourself. In other words, what society thinks about you is not important at all, but what you think of you is very important. And it is difficult for you to separate what you think of you from what society thinks of you. In other words, if your society, and it has been experienced many times upon your earth, where someone very plump was considered wealthy and was considered to be what was wanted. And so the skinny ones were the ones that felt out of place, you see. And so in that society, many of you would fit right in. You would find yourself being right where you are wanting to be. But given that scenario, those of you that are sitting here feeling too fat for this society would be the skinny ones in that society. Because it is the attention to the lack that is creating what you do not want. Are you following? You are right. You can never be in a place you are wanting to be, or you can always be in the place you are wanting to be. You have the option, do you not? Let us hear from you, and then we will wrap it up.
Okay, a question that relates to this subject as well as co-creating. A significant other pointed out to me that I have a little roll along here, and it would be good if I worked hard to get rid of it, and that I could exercise since I have more time and so on and so forth, or eat less or whatever, or order salads or whatever. And, you know, because she was a significant other and whatnot, I took it to heart, it started to grow more.
Always.
Yeah.
It is like that tar baby.
That was unbelievable.
The most important thing that we are wanting you to understand is that when you are using the word other, we would encourage you to always use the word insignificant with them.
That's pretty good.
Others are insignificant in terms of you, because all others are not understanding what you are wanting. And as they cause you to focus upon your lack, you are right, you just get more of the lack. And so what we would say, if someone said to us, sitting here in our physical body, oh, we are seeing something about you that we do not like to see, we would say, look someplace else. What do you think of my nose? Cute little thing, isn't it? What about this ear over here? In other words, we would encourage the other to look for what she is wanting to see, And at the same time, we would have fun and not allow ourselves to feel negative emotion about it. Here is your test. You are the creator of your own experience, yes or no?
Yes.
Your body responds to one thing only. What is it?
Thoughts.
Whose thoughts?
My thoughts.
How do you know whether your thoughts are helping or hindering you in terms of what you want? You feel good, they're helping. What is more important than the way you feel?
Nothing.
What do you want regarding your body?
Yeah.
I want to look good. I want to feel good. You want health? Can you see what a simple process it is? Now, we're going to offer some behavioral examples. You weigh 20 pounds more than you want to. You're getting dressed. You have chosen something that is rather slenderizing. You feel pretty good when you wear it. You're standing in front of the mirror and you don't have any clothes on. Is it a good idea to look in the mirror or not?
Yes.
No.
Those of you who are saying no are saying so because you are recognizing that there are bulges there that you are not wanting to be there, and that your attention to them just makes them more. Those of you who are saying yes have already acknowledged that there are beautiful parts of your body and are feeling comfortable in looking at it. Would you agree? Now you have put on your beautiful clothes and you feel wonderful. And now you have gone out to dinner with a friend and you have decided that tonight you're going to have a very good time, that you're going to follow that which feels good unto you. And so you say, the only thing that is really important is that I feel good. And then you identify your intentions for the evening. I want to like me. I want to like my partner. I want to have a good time. I want to feel positive emotion. Now you go into the restaurant. Do you really think that under those conditions that you would find yourself struggling over the dessert tray? Or do you think that you would easily be guided? Do you think that the inclination for dessert, if it's not in harmony with what you are wanting, simply would not be there? Do you understand that all times that you are having a struggle with diet or with a struggle with health is for one reason and one reason only? And that is for whatever reason you have been focused upon the lack of what you are wanting. And do you know that from a position of lack, you can never have a good time or success? Do you know that any time that you are feeling negative emotion, that you are working so hard against yourself psychically that there is not enough action in the world to compensate for it? Do you understand that that's why diets don't work? Do you understand that that's the reason that operations are usually not successful? Well, do you?
Yes.
And so let's see if we can bring this all to a conclusion so that as you are leaving this conference, that you are now in the process of attracting predominantly what you are wanting. The universe is abundant, yes or no?
Yes.
And it holds for you the perfect specimen of health and beauty?
Yes.
There is also the option of being too fat or too sick. Are you vulnerable to sickness and to fatness, or is it a choice always?
Choice.
And how would you know when you are making the choice to sickness? And so as you are feeling some negative emotion, what is the best response to it? Oh, guidance system is working. It is showing me the possum with egg on its face. It is showing me what I am doing that is getting me what I'm not wanting so that I can recognize it. And so is negative emotion a good thing or a bad thing?
Good.
It is guidance. And so now here you are. The dessert tray is in front of you. You started to take that big piece of cake and you felt some negative emotion. And so you stop doing what you're doing. You put the cake back and you say, never mind. And then you say, bless this guidance system. because it is leading me toward what I want. Now, how are you feeling?
Good.
Do you think you're suffering? Do you think you would have any trouble at all? Or would you be absolutely excited and happy in the delicious, deliberate creation of your experience? It feels so good to do things on purpose. And it feels so rotten to do things by default. And that is the reason that at an early age you felt so wonderful when you realized you had control of your own experience. You are in perfect health right now, no matter what the physical manifestation shows. Health is your reality. Slender is your reality. And anything else is a distortion of that reality that you have just allowed yourself to participate within temporarily. The real you is as you are wanting to be. And so give thought to the way you are wanting to be, and your physical body will very quickly catch up with it. It is our absolute promise unto you. The momentum has already begun. Without exception, each of you who are seeking healthier or slender or whatever sort of bodies, the momentum has already begun. And so watch for the evidence of it. It will be very obvious. We've enjoyed very much this interaction. What about you?
Yes.
We are complete.